بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Thani Sahib Rahmatullah Ali's Zajan temperament was that people that are coming in, they should be clear and there should be no ambiguity in their speech. What's the intention for coming? There must be no ambiguity. There must be no underlying current. Make it very clearly, very clear, abundantly clear, what's your intention, and thereafter you stay here. Some person would come and Hazrat would ask him, what's your intention? Now I've come to live here. What period? For as long as you say. Hazrat would say, please, you specify the period that you want to stay here. So whatever period you say, Hazrat would say, all right, I ask you to stay here for 10 years. So I can't manage that. So then why did you say that at the beginning, that I came here for the period that you would say? Why did you say that? So Hazrat wouldn't be very happy with this type of statements. Make it clear. You come here for 3 days, 5 days, 10 days, 20 days. Whatever the period, you make it clear. Shaykh al-Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah Ali also used to be annoyed with this type of statements. Someone would come, says, how long? Say, whatever you say. So the Shaykh would say that, see, Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali, that is the Amir of the Merkaz, he asked for 4 months. And I am his elder brother, and his cousin brother, so I have got the right to ask for more than what he is asking. So I would ask for 4 years. And I can't manage that. Then why did you say that in the first place, that I come here for the period that you state? Don't make this type of ambiguous statements. Be clear about what you want, what you have come for. Others would be sitting in the masjid. People would come there at a certain time. And if there were any newcomers that were in the masjid, they would ask them, what's the purpose for your coming? So now I've just come for your mulaqah, this for your meeting. Others would then say, see, I'm asking you very clearly, you mention exactly what you have come for. You mention exactly what you have come for, because I'm giving you this time, just now I will get engrossed. When I get engrossed, then I will not be able to attend to you personally. So when I've just come for your meeting, nothing else, only to meet you, only for your mulaqat. Now, Hazrat would get engrossed in his work after, sir, addressing others. Then this person would say, Hazrat, I need to have one ta'weez as well. But I had given you the time for that. Why didn't you speak then? You wanted a ta'weez. You would have spoken when I had asked you. Now, when I had given you the time is already finished. Now you come and ask me that I want this. It's not right of you. So he would say, I would say, what I want from people is admi, admiyat, to teach you to become a man. If you want to become a wali and a buzurg, then you can go other places and become wali or become a buzurg, but you come here to learn how to be a man. What is man? What it is to be a man? Go and learn that. I will teach that to you. I will spell that out to you. When people look at Islam and people look at Deen, then they look at it from just one perspective, one dimension, that now we need to become pious, all right? That piety is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the rest of your life relates to people. You're living on this planet, and you're going to interact with people, you're going to socialize with them, you're going to relate to them. Right? And the hurt and the pain that you bring to them is so severe, on the day of Qiyamah the person will come and he will have mountains of deeds, mountains and mountains of deeds. By the same token, he'll come, أَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا شَتَمَ هَذَا ضَرَبَ هَذَا. He has hurt this person here, he's eaten up his wealth, he has made false allegations against this person. As a result, all that good deeds is shifted away. Now, all the good deeds you have accumulated, and those accumulated rewards were accepted as well. That is why it appeared as sawab. If it wasn't accepted, it wouldn't have appeared as sawab. It has appeared as sawab. But by the same token, you would hurt so many people. So do you see the importance of behaving, conducting yourself correctly? Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he had completed his formal studies and he had come up for his islah to Hazrat Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullah Alayh. Hazrat Qutbuddin Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh explained to him that this path of righteousness, this path that will lead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is only accessible when one is free of any type of obligations. So if you want to make some progress and you want to reach up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then see and ensure that all your obligations are absolved, small, big. Whatever obligations you have towards people, go and fulfill all those obligations, then you come. That zamana, it was such that people came, they came with true talab, a true determination they had come with. They hadn't come with half resolve. They were determined people, and they were people of courage, they were people of great, great azm and resolve. So when their seniors had tutored them and directed them, then they went wholeheartedly. They went wholeheartedly and achieved what they were being instructed. It wasn't a half resolve. It wasn't a half determination. No, full determination that I need to achieve this. I've come and I'm not going to leave without acquiring this. So that was the resolve and that was the determination that they had come with. The resolve today and the determination today is that the Shaykh and your seniors must speak nicely to you and give you good stories and then you will progress. So they spelt it out because the people that came to them, they came with that type of determination. So in a very short period, they would achieve what you will achieve in years. In a very short period, they would achieve that straight. One, the first sitting, Go and do this. And there he's gone to do that. Now here, the need will be to make that person's mind, you know, you go, I have to first explain to you what is the importance of the rights of people and how it will feature on the day of Qiyamah if you haven't fulfilled their rights. What will happen to you? What will be the predicament? After some long period, then it may just appeal to you. And when it appeals to you, then you will think of fulfilling that person's right and then come. So what is achieved now in a couple of years, it was achieved in seconds, in moments. And the reason was that they came and they came with resolve. They came with determination. Whatever is going to be told to me now, I'm going to do it. They came with that type of determination. So this determination is about the greatest thing in this path. What type of determination have you come with? What type of resolve have you come with? إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَذِكْرَ لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ أَوْ أَلْقَ السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. See, the Quran Sharif also says, this message of the Quran Sharif, who is it beneficial for? Who is it going to be working for? Who is it going to be effective for? You want it to be effective. You want it to be beneficial. You want it to work for you, but then what is the precondition for this to be beneficial, to be effective, to be working for you? Then what is a prerequisite? إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَذِكْرًا لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. So this is going to be effective. This message is going to be effective for that person, لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ, who takes it to heart. In other words, whatever is being told to him, then he listens to it. He has got a heart, he understands it. He comprehends it. He fully perceives what's being told to him. He doesn't just take it casually. He doesn't just take it like something that is very light. No, he takes it very, very seriously. That this is being told to me, I understand it, I fully comprehend it. So that's the first condition, that you do understand and fully perceive. You fully comprehend what's being told to you. Fully. إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَذِكْرًا لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ أَوْ أَلْقَ السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. Or he listens with the presence of mind. You can be sitting here, you can be sitting in the company of the mashayikh, even the Anbiya alayhi salam, but your mind is not present. Or you have got another agenda. You have come here and you have come with another agenda. وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَىٰ شَيَاطِينِمْ قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ. So they also had different agendas. They didn't have a proper agenda. They didn't have a proper intention. Intention was all corrupt. So they sit in the company of the Anbiya alayhi salam. They sit in the company of the mu'mineen, of the believers, of the awliya. But the agenda is corrupt. They've got some other hidden agendas. So Allah Pak says, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَذِكْرًا لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. Either you understand what's being told, take it to heart, take it seriously, receive it completely, receive it completely. So when you are receiving something and receiving it completely, when the instructor gets to know that you're receiving completely, he also feels a feeling of affinity, a feeling of bond, a feel of happiness. This person is taking and is receiving fully. So he wants to also give it to you fully. He wants to give it to you completely. Because you are receiving completely. So he wants to give it to you completely. But you're not receiving fully. You're coming with a different agenda. And he perceives it at some point or the other. He perceives it. But then he realizes perhaps this person is not fully committed. So let me work with him gradually, gracefully. Let me work with him. According to how he's coming, then you work with him accordingly. So what others would have achieved in moments, now you're going to achieve the same thing in years. So the easy way, easy, very, very unambiguous, clear way is come with a full resolve. Come with a full resolve, come with a full determination, come with a clear, clear mind. Then you see how nice it is, how embracing this work is, how cheerful, how happy this work is, how enjoyable this work is. Why? You've come with a clear mind. You've come with a clear mind, so the instructor also, he has a liking for you. He has got muhabbat for you, that you have come with a clear mind. You haven't come with a hidden agenda. You come with a heart to accept. You come with a mind to understand your own weaknesses, your own problems. Furthermore, Tamir Sahib Rahmatullahi wouldn't even like a person coming to here so that he can become a buzurg. No, not for that. Come here so that you may learn your mistakes. You may learn your weaknesses. What's my weaknesses? I want to understand my weaknesses. This is the reason that I have come here. My discreet weaknesses, my open weaknesses. I want to know what's those things that are the impediments of my mind, impediment of my heart. What is it? I want to learn these things. So he would say, that come here and come and learn Admiyat. Learn it, learn what it is to be a man. I was once attending one janaza namaz and the car was parked at some far distant spot. We had to walk for some distance to come to the janaza. In that I had seen one Hindu wanting to reverse his car. And he saw that he was jammed. Some person that was attending the janaza, he had blocked his driveway. So this Hindu is saying, no consideration. It appeared to be a little bit of an old Hindu. So he says, no consideration. Now, imagine what that person, what predicament that person could have been in. You know, I explained yesterday that we are taught in a madrasa to think in different ways, from different angles, from different perspectives, different dimensions. Now, when you are trained to think like that, you will think in not just one single way. One single way, well, I'm just parked here, now I'll move away, so it won't be a real disturbance to this person. Now you train to think in different perspectives, different dimensions. It may be that this person has got a heart attack, he needs to rush off to the hospital. It may be that his wife is in labor and she needs to be rushed off. It may be that there was a fire that broke out and the child has got third degree burns. She needs to be rushed up to the hospital. Now all these things will come in your mind. Then that person will think, well, if it was myself that was in that position, I needed to reverse the car and someone was blocking the driveway, how would I have cursed the person? My child now is between life and death and this person has blocked the driveway. I got no other recourse. What do I do? I will need to call the ambulance now. And by the time the ambulance comes, it will be already 1 hour. And what's going to happen to this child? So this person that is trained in a madrasa, and he's trained to think in different dimensions, different ways. Okay, it's not just one single way, one narrow vision that you've got. You've got different ways of thinking, different dimensions of thinking. Okay, this could be a possibility, this could be a possibility, this could be a possibility. Or it may be that he needs to go urgently. His friend is crying for some type of help, and he is to attend to the friend immediately. Okay. Now he comes and he sees that his driveway is blocked, driveway is jammed. Okay. That is the one problem, the first problem. Now the word he's used, what? No consideration. So you as a Muslim, whatever you say, but you are a reflection of Islam. Aren't you a reflection of Islam? When you are a reflection of Islam, then what opinion does he have of Islam? Does he have a good opinion of Islam or does he have a poor opinion of Islam? All revolving around the fact that you didn't learn admiyat. You didn't learn what it is to be a man. You just thought, no, Islam means just put some tasbihs, make some zikr, namaz, etc. And that's the end of Islam. So you confined it to just one area. As a result, you brought so much of problem and you didn't even realize that you brought problem to this person. That's what our Buzuganadin say. Keshanidam ke mardane rahe khuda nakardand dil dushmanantang. These people that learned admiyat, Allah wala, that have learned admiyat, when they learn that admiyat, then what is their behavior? Their behavior is such, they don't even hurt the heart of an enemy. What? Those that have learned admiyat, they've learned to become men, they don't forget friends, they won't even hurt the heart of an enemy. Normally, you are not careful about an enemy. You disregard the rights of an enemy. So these people become so conscious that they don't even hurt the heart of an enemy. Don't you see, when there is a jalsa or an ijtima, crowd came up for a big night, whatever, and repeatedly someone has to come up to the mic, please remove your car, please, this registration, and remove your car. Then you get the person coming last to the masjid, and he's parked his car incorrectly. After the faraz namaz, now he's engaged in nafal. People are wanting to go. They're wanting to leave. So now what problem, what confusion, complication that you bring about? The complication that you bring about, this person that is attending the namaz, he'll say, next time I won't make a mistake of attending the namaz with jamaat. I come here and I'm involved in this type of a fix. You know, I needed to go urgently to the house. The wife just SMS me or she just telephoned me and she wants me out straight away. There is some problem in the house and she wants my attention. And now I come here, and this person is jammed. You go in and confront that person. He says, no, I didn't have any intention to hurt you. I didn't intend to hurt you. It was unintentional. But that is not sufficient. You need to have the intention. You intend not to hurt. Don't say it was unintentional. You need to behave yourself in such a way that you will not bring about any pain, any hurt, any harm to anybody. Are you parking the car? You're thinking in ten different ways. How do I need to park the car? Where do I need to park the car? I don't jam anybody. I don't put anybody into any fix and any type of problem. So how must I park that car? Now this person has learned Admiyat. So when he comes to the masjid, it's a cheer. It's a happiness. He's learned how to conduct himself. He knows how to speak to people. People take him with a cheer, with joy, with happiness. They want to see him. They say, "Chacha, hey, we didn't see you, man." They feel happy with the chacha. The chacha feels happy with people that he is not bringing any problem for anybody. Any discomfort. No, it's not a slightest discomfort to anybody. After the masjid, you don't see him loitering around and shouting. He's thinking, I'm going to shout around the masjid, outside the masjid. The voice is going to filter through the masjid. And that person may be engaged in namaz, and it's going to be a disturbance to him. See, now this is admiyat. You're sitting, waiting for namaz, perhaps you're sitting behind the masjid, and you're chatting away. And that noise, that voice, that sound is echoing. It's coming right to the front. Disturbance again. So do you see, when you learn admiyat, when you learn to be a man, then you are a cheer, you are a bundle of joy, you are a happiness for everybody, for yourself and for everybody. Otherwise there's a bayan carrying on here and you're chatting around outside the masjid. Namaz is about to start, you are doing wuzu, and in that wuzu you are talking loudly. The imam has to send someone by, just tell them at the wuzu khana, please keep quiet. Now, do we deserve to be treated like this? Do we deserve to be treated like this? This is now a child behavior. The child needs to be told, by keep quiet, remain silent. People engage in namaz, don't disturb them. Yeah. So this is what is meant, admiyat. Yeah. So that's why Hazrat used to say, that buzurgi, etc., perhaps you can go and learn somewhere else. But you come here, come and learn what it is to be a man. What it is to be Admi, the son of Adam alayhi salam, come and learn that. You see, there's just one, two aspects I've covered, but what disturbance and what difficulty you bring about upon people when you haven't learned to be a man. Now you're in the toilet. The toilet is for common use, like a masjid toilet, or istima time you're in a toilet, it's for common use, right? And when it is meant for common use, then the right procedure was, after you've finished, then you move off straight away. Now you're sitting in the toilet and you're dreaming away, or you've got some literature and you're reading away, right? Those people are waiting outside. They can't knock the door, obviously. They feel it's rude. They feel it's incorrect for them to knock at the door whilst you are occupied. But here you are reading something. You are dreaming away. You are finished. What about all those people? When it's a common use, when the toilet is of common use, when it's your individual toilet, nobody is sharing the toilet with you, not your wife, not your child. There's nobody that is waiting for you. All right, then too, the toilet wasn't the best place to be pulling time, reading magazines. Now imagine what a miserable sight. You are half naked. There's dirt filth all under you. And you got the paper and you're reading. It's a miserable sight. So when you've learned admiyat, then you know all these things become natural. Then nobody has to come and prompt you and teach you, and educate you. No. You are in a toilet, perhaps in an aeroplane, common use, right? And you had to make wuzu. So when you had to make wuzu, obviously the place around was spilt with water, whatever else, was spilt, you make wuzu. Now you, like a very pious person, you know, hey, namaz time, I must get my namaz. So you're not worried about how you visited the toilet, you spilled the place, you missed the whole area, you're not worried about it. Is this now what Islam is teaching you? No, you go and visit the toilet. When you leave it better, in the better state than you had visited it. Now the next person that is coming in, be it a Muslim or a non-Muslim, says, "No, mashallah, what level, what standard of akhlaq these people have got? What level, what standard these people display?" See, they'll watch at everything, every move of yours. One Englishman was visiting India in those days when it was English rule. So he happened to come across some Muslim. He invited him for lunch, and it was biryani that he served. And just on eating that biryani, he accepted Islam. And he reasoned within himself, okay, when the standard of these people's meals and food is of such a high level, then what may be the standard of their religion? Just that biryani had warning. Okay. You see, these are the salient things that we consider as small and insignificant. And these are the things thereafter that create a good reflection of Islam or a poor reflection of Islam. It may create a good reflection of deen or a poor reflection of deen. Your conduct, your behavior, your ways, your mannerisms. How do you conduct yourself? How do you talk to people? I'm just explaining a few points, but for the person that is understanding, he'll understand now how to apply himself to different situations. I explained about parking a motor car, of talking outside the masjid. Doesn't have to be outside the masjid, but any other place where you're going to be a disturbance, any other public area, and you're going to talk loudly, and you're going to be of a disturbance to someone else, then how do you conduct yourself? You're visiting a place which is of common use, then how do you? Rasulullah had stopped the Sahaba Kiram anil qiran, that don't you take two pieces of khajur at one time. You're eating commonly. 3, 4 people, 10 people are eating from one tray, right? Don't take 2 or 3 khajurs. Khajur is just an example. It can be other things. For example, there was jalebi that is being served, or mitai that is being served. Now, the mitai is limited, 10 pieces, and you are 5 mehman. So you pulled out 3 good pieces of mitai for yourself. I'm very hungry now. I pulled the 3 mehman. And I made myself totally oblivious of all those that are sitting there. I'm very, very hungry. These people may be alright, they're full now. And I am very hungry. So you're only concerned about yourself and you forgot the rest. You're going to a guest. As a guest you are going, right? And they dished out food. So you saw some nice, good pieces of meat, right? Whatever it was, you liked it, fish, whatever else. And you put nice 1, 2 good pieces into your plate. And there's another 5 people there, and there's just 2 pieces left. Is that fair of you? Not fair of you. Why? You didn't learn Admiyat. You didn't learn what it is to be a man. I remember in those days, Chota Mota Marhum, Allah Ta'ala fill his grave with Noor, occasionally used to come to the place, to our place on Thursdays. It was his rounds, perhaps in Spingo Beach, and he would come there. Many a times, the days that he would come, it would just coincide that there was chops. And like the original style, if there was a good meal, then there would be a simple meal. Like if there are chops and all that, then there is mug, masoor, etc. Complementing the chops. So Chota Mota, as well as his family, they will have one standard. They will fill the plate up with mug and take a small piece of chops. Now see, that's considerate. Now so many years passed, that I may have personally observed some 20, 25 years ago in the 80s when he was doing the supervision. But a very small piece, and then he would fill the plate with mug. But the man is dead and gone, that good habits of his are in our minds still. He's dead and he's gone. But his good habits, good ways that he left behind, we think still about it. You can see what he's taught us. He wasn't an alim, he wasn't a hafiz, he wasn't a qari sahib, he wasn't an educated person as such, right? But then these good ways, good behavior, good marks, good traits the man leaves behind, you think about the person for the goodness that he's got. Now if he's a hafiz or he's an alim, and if he's behaving contrary to that, Simon, you lost it, man. You lost it. You lost it completely. How can you behave like this? That was a non-alim, and he behaved like this. He was teaching us what to do, how to behave like men, what it is to be a man. So this same aspect of being a man is applicable to different situations. It's not just applicable to one single situation. Different situations it is applicable to. How do you behave and how do you conduct yourself as a man? You know, conduct yourself anywhere you go. It's in that plain toilet, for example, you spilled the water in that area. So now before you leave it, you took the tissue and you clean the whole area. You dried it up nicely. Next person is walking in, he finds it crisp, clean, fresh. He feels comfortable going into the area. But he feels that whole place, he sees that whole place is messed up, water lying here, there and all that. He's not going to be concerned about your piety and your namaz and your pulling tasbih and all that. He's not worried about that.
What he's concerned about is, what was the type of mannerism you displayed in this area? That's what he's going to see. And then he will sum you up, and he will sum, na'uzu billah, he will sum the religion up. Okay, this is the religion of these people here, this is what he teaches. But who brought them to this conclusion? It was yourself that brought them to that conclusion. So you see, at the beginning I explained that Mawlana wanted you to be clear, unambiguous. Be clear, be unambiguous, and explain exactly what you have come for. So I can give you, and I can give you incomplete. I can deliver and deliver complete. You can receive also, you can receive incomplete. But all that happens when you have come with determination. You come with the resolve. You come with a complete azm. You've come with an azm. Then you will see in that short sitting, but how much you will acquire. Today, with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we learned what it is, admiyat, what it is to be man. Allah ta'ala tawfiq nasib.